verse number 8, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to read all these verses because I read them this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, read one verse and have prayer and then you can be seated. Verse number 8, the Bible said, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Father, I ask you to bless the reading of thy word and speak to our hearts now. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I'm not going to re-preach the sermon this morning, but we're talking about the subject that it works every time. In verse number 8, the Bible said, charity never faileth. And so charity, love, and we're talking about spiritual love. We're talking about brotherly love. We're talking about the love that God sheds abroad in our heart. Romans 5 and verse number 6 says that the Holy Ghost shed abroad in our heart. That love, that spiritual love, that it never faileth. And we talked about the importance of charity and the impeccability of charity, how that charity is always always right. It's always it's always responds. Spiritual love always responds in the right way. And so I want us to notice as we pick up this message in verse number 8, I want us to not only think about the importance of charity and the impeccability of charity, but I want us to look at the indestructibility of charity. Charity is indestructible. Amen. Notice the Bible said in verse number 8 that charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Unlike the gifts, he talks about these gifts, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of knowledge. He mentioned all of them in verse number 2, but he comes back in verse number 8 and he says these things are going to fail. These things are not going to be permanent. Tongues and knowledge and prophecies are not going to be permanent, but charity, he said, it's indestructible. It faileth not. Amen. I'm talking about the love that God gives us one for another. Jesus said, and I quoted that verse this morning, he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Amen. The Bible says, how can we say that we love God whom we have not seen if we love not our brother whom we have seen? And you know, that's one of the evidences of salvation, is that we love the brethren. Now, that's not a social love. That's not just coming together and having a good time, but there's a spiritual connection in that. We love one another. Why? Because we love God. Amen. Brother Samuel and I was talking over lunch this afternoon about Israel and how that sometimes the Jewish people will look at him and they'll say, we don't understand why that pastors in America and why the people in America have such a love for Israel. And we're just talking about how that, you know, if you're saved, you love what God loves. Amen. And God loves the Jewish people. So it's just automatically in your heart that you love the people of God. Amen. And we that are saved are the people of God. And so charity is indestructible. When you think about it, there's a lot of things that can be destroyed, but our love one for another ought to grow stronger the closer we get to God. And then notice with me in verse number 9. Listen, he talks about not only these gifts. Unlike these gifts, charity is perfect. But he also tells us in verse number 9 down to verse number 12, unlike other gifts, charity is not just permanent, but it is complete. Amen? Notice what he said. He said, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, talking about the Word of God, then that which is part shall be done away. Amen? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now here's what Paul is saying. He's saying all these gifts and all these tongues and all this knowledge and all faith and prophecy, all these gifts that were given to the early church in the book of Acts, he said when that which is perfect is come, talking about the Word of God, he said then that which is in part or part shall be taken away. You know, if you look at the book of Acts, here's what you'll see. You'll see a lot of signs and wonders in the early chapters of the book of Acts. It talks about Peter and the Jews. Amen. Remember, Jesus said the Jews seek a sign. Isn't that right? But the church is coming on the scene. Amen. And you can go home. You can read those 28 chapters of the book of Acts and note this, that it was, when you begin in chapter 1, it's all about Peter and Pentecost and the Jews. experience. Amen. It's all about signs and wonders and the gifts and those things. But as you go through the Word of God, you get to Acts chapter 9, and guess what? Paul gets saved. Amen. And Paul lights the lamp of the grace of God, the gospel in the Gentiles, in all of their households, and the church is coming more on the scene. And there's a little phrase seen throughout the book of Acts. It's repeated more than once. It says, and the Word of God grew and it multiplied. You know what happened in that book? I'm telling you, they'd go out and preach the gospel, and persecution would come on them, and the more they persecuted them, guess what? The more it scattered them. Amen? And when it scattered them, guess what? They preached the Word of God, and the Word of God grew and it multiplied, and the church kept multiplying. And I'm telling you, as the church was multiplying, the Word of God was being written, and the canon of the Scriptures were being given. And the more the Word of God that you see coming on the scene, the less of signs and wonders you begin to see. Those things begin to fade off the scene. And Paul says, when that which is part, he said in this verse, is taken away, he said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What happened? The Word of God got completed. You don't need signs and wonders. Y'all still with me? You don't need all the. Why do we need the gift of prophecy? We have the. In fact, he said in Revelation, if any man will add to the prophecies of this book, we don't need prophecies anymore. We don't need. Listen, there is no more divine revelation because we have a full canon of the Word of God. We point to the Scriptures. Amen. We don't need prophecies anymore. We've got the prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy now. We have the complete Word of God. And my friend, yes, the Holy Spirit inspires, and yes, the Holy Spirit moves, but when God wants to speak to us, He uses the Bible, He uses the Word of God, and tongues, and signs, and wonders, and prophecies, and knowledge, and all these things begins to fade off the scene as the Word of God is completed. Amen? And here's what Paul makes this statement. He said, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. But he said, when the Word of God is come, he said, that which is perfect is come, that which is part shall be done away. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Those apostolic miracles and things that were given to the early church were elementary things compared to the Word of God. And so Paul says in verse number 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. What is he telling us in this passage of Scripture? Is he going to talk about charity? Sure he is. When we go to verse number 13, he's going to pick charity back up again. Paul is not done with charity, but Paul is drawing the conclusion out that I'll tell you what the Word of God does is that it brings us together. Why did we come to church this afternoon? Thank God for good singing. But did we just gather for a singing? No. Thank God for good fellowship. But did we gather for just fellowship? Oh no. I'll tell you the common denominator that brings the people of God together. It is the Word of God. Amen. It is the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. As she sung that song a while ago, I'm telling you, there's just something about that song that'll bless your soul. I'm told when it talks about strength beyond measure, we find strength and comfort in God's comforting Word. Amen. I tell you what a blessing that is. Seek His storehouse of treasure. Isn't that what this book is? The Word of God is a storehouse of treasures and instructions. I tell you, I don't want to go to a church that's just bad. And I love feelings. Amen. I thank God when I go to church, I can feel something. Amen. If I couldn't ever feel nothing, I'd go somewhere else. Amen. But I'll tell you, we're not built on feelings. Amen. We don't live on our feelings because our feelings fluctuate. But thank God the Word of God never changes. Amen. And we can bank on it. We can build on it. We can trust it. Amen. It'll help us in the hard times of life. Amen. I'll say this more this evening. When we talk about charity this evening, I want us to think about, my friend, that our charity comes from the Word of God. The more we study the Bible, the more we memorize the Scriptures, the more we let the Word of God dwell in us richly, the more love we have for the Bible, the more love we have one for another. Now watch people when they backslide. When people start backsliding, they get cold. Then they begin to get calloused. Then they begin to get critical. They become critical of everything and everybody around them. Then they get very complacent. And it's not very long after that that they change their course. What I'm saying to you is stay in the Word of God. There's something wrong when people go from loving their church to no longer loving their church. They say, well, you know, there's some things I don't agree with. Well, there's things we all don't agree with down here. All I can tell you to do is get in line, amen? I mean, even as the pastor, it don't go my way all the time, and I'm not going to bellyache about it, amen? The bottom line is, isn't it good to have a good church to go to in 2025? You say, well, there's problems. There is problems because you're here. Amen. We all may bring problems to the table. Isn't that right? But I see some people, they change churches and they swap churches like they change your socks. Amen. And they've been members of 25 churches. Amen. And nobody can make them happy and nobody can please them. I'm telling you, listen, you think this church stayed here all these years because people just came and went when they felt like it? Oh, no. There was some people had to grind it out. There's some people had to stay through some hard times, and I tell you, God's been good to our church, but these hard times comes to every place, and sometimes you just got to grin it and bear it and go on, amen, and just stay where God puts you. I tell you, God will bless you for that, amen. You got to learn to love people in spite of their ways, because they love us in spite of our ways. I'm talking about charity. It's indestructible. It doesn't cost me anything to love people, but it may cost me everything if I choose not to, amen. I've watched people get bitter, and I don't want to get bitter. I've watched people soul, couldn't get past something, and they stayed mad for weeks and months and sometimes even years. And all it does is drain the life out of you spiritually. And I want to ask them people this question: what are you going to do at the judgment seat of Christ? You're going to have to give an account for not speaking to a brother or a sister. You're going to have to give an account for bypassing somebody so you didn't have to shake their hand. You're going to have to give an account for talking about somebody. We're going to have to give an account for how we treat our brothers and sisters. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now why would I want to do that? Because of verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You go back and read verse 2, 3, and 4, and I'm going to tell you something. Everything that Paul wrote in those three verses prior to verse number 5 is exactly the type and character and personality of Jesus. That was his mindset. And let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. Notice this. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm telling you, my friend, if Jesus Christ can humble himself, if Jesus Christ can prefer his brother before himself, if Jesus Christ can let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, then how much more should we? Amen. Don't sing a song full of strife. Don't play an instrument mad at somebody. Y'all with me? Don't get in the choir and sing because and be mad at somebody on the other side of the choir, or don't sit in the pew and don't come to the choir because you're mad about something you didn't get your way about. I'm just telling you. Say, preacher, you know something? No, like I said this morning, if I did, I'd preach it anyway. Amen. But I don't know anything. But I got a feeling I've been hitting the nail on the head all day long. Amen. And so I'm gonna keep driving the same nail in. I'm telling you, brother, we won't have revival if we don't get right with God and treat each other right. Y'all with me tonight? I'm telling you, I feel like doing some preaching right now. I'm just telling you, when we come to the house of God, we ought to love every single person in the building. We ought to make a point to speak with everybody. I'm telling you, if there's the least little bit of something in your heart or my heart, we ought to do it right then. We ought to go up to them and shake their hand and hug their neck and tell them we love them. Amen. Is that right? I ought to get around to everybody. Now, 15 people shakes my hand tonight. I know there's some real problems. Amen. I'm just kidding. Isn't it amazing? God's people, saved people, they won't even speak to each other. You know, back home, the town we're from, and just above Eton, I could name the church, and y'all both know the church. Two families. Brother Ed Blue pastored that church. I don't know if it was in the, I want to say it was in the 50s. They got mad at each other, and they couldn't settle the disagreement, and it got so bad that they went to court. And the judge, Brother Ed Blue told this story, the judge in Murray County awarded this family the first and third Sunday of the month and awarded this family the second and fourth Sunday. I can take you to the church. If I call the church, these two will know exactly what I'm talking about. And so the one family refused to go through the door that the same family went through. So Brother Danny, they put a door in on this side and got their key. So this family had their key. And Brother Blue said, I pastored that crowd for another year. He said, I tell you what I did that year. He said, I blistered them the whole year trying to get them two families to get right with God and with each other. And said, finally, neither one of them would. So he said, I'll just let them have it. Amen. And just left. And they had the same name for years. I think about 15 years ago, they finally changed the name. But that was a testimony of that church after all them years. Now, can you imagine people that say they're saved? I wonder if them people even know God. Amen. They'd be so stubborn and so aggravated that they couldn't show Christian love and forgive. I want to tell you what this book says. If you don't forgive your brother, the Bible said God will not forgive you. Amen. So go ahead and hold something against somebody. Go ahead and bury the hatchet, but don't bury the handle. And I'll tell you what, all you're going to do is lock the heavens up and turn them to brass, and one day you're going to need God like you've never needed God before, and you're going to be in real trouble. Amen. I know a man that used to go to this church that's destroyed his family because he got jealous of another man. You say, how do you know that? Because he told me. 7 years before he got out of this church, he never got it right with God. Only me and him knew about it. He never told the other brother. The other brother don't know it to this day. And the other brother still goes to this church. And the other brother never knew anything. I never told a living soul. And I go by every now and then, I said, did you ever get that right? No, I didn't make it right. You need to make it right. You need to make it right. He didn't make it right. Long story short, destroyed his family because of an unforgiving spirit, jealousy. Isn't that what a lot of things boil down to? People give a lot of excuses, but I think a lot of times it's just pure green-eyed jealousy because they don't want somebody to get more attention. Well, I'll tell you, that'll destroy you, won't it? But when you talk about charity, it's unlike these other gifts. It's complete. What do you mean? Oh, these things are part. But look at verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. I'll give you this last point. The invincibility of charity. Charity is invincible. You say, what do you mean invincible? Well, if you look at what Paul says. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, why is charity greater than hope and faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Why is charity greater than hope? Looking for that blessed hope. That's a different kind of hope, isn't it? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we've all been most miserable. But why is charity greater than faith? And why is charity greater than hope? I'll tell you why. Because in eternity, hope and faith will fade away. One day, faith is going to end in sight. There's an end to faith. There's an end to hope. Amen. Thank God when we see Jesus. Amen. That hope will be taken away. What a hope we have. It is a blessed hope. I'll tell you, when Jesus comes, hope will be gone. Faith will be gone. But I'll tell you what will keep abiding on throughout eternity. I'll tell you what will live in this life, but it'll live in the next life. And it's charity. Amen. I'll tell you, we love Him today. But how much more are we going to love Him when we see Him face to face? We love Him now. But how much more are we going to love Him when we get a glorified body? And
we stand in His presence for all eternity. We love Him now in a robe of flesh. We love Him in a sinful, cursed world. But how much more are we going to love Him? But thank God when we get to the shores of home. I'm talking about the love of Christ. It constrains us now, but it'll just grow stronger throughout eternity. Amen. Amen. Love will never be cast away. Love should never be cast away. You know, when you get married, you love your wife, you love your husband. And as the years go on, our bodies, they grow weaker, don't they? That man is not that groom at 70 that he was at 19 or 20 or 21. That lady is not that bride, I'm talking about the physical body, at 70 that she was as a young bride. But I'll tell you what love does. She's not that body, he's not that body, but they're more beautiful, aren't they? The older you get, the longer you're married, the more beautiful your spouse becomes. You say, how is that possible? Because it's built on love. The longer you're together, the more years you share, the more you walk together, the more you serve God together, the more you live together, the greater appreciation you have. I say this tonight not to embarrass her, but I mean that, and I think every man would feel this way that has a godly wife. I just assume have my wife pray for me as anybody I know. In fact, I'd rather have her pray for me before anybody I know. And I think men feel that way, have a godly wife. And women feel that way who have a godly husband. Years may change the outside. The hair turns gray. The face. One of my daughters said something very comforting to me the other day. They said, Dad, you need to start putting some wrinkle cream on your face. Now, what a blessing. I said, I'm not doing that. They said, but it'll help you. I said, that's gay. And I said, I am not putting wrinkle cream on my face. That's how I feel about it. I don't care if it hair lips everybody. I said, the day you see me start using wrinkle cream, I said, you go get me checked out. Amen. You see, and I'm sorry, if you're a man and you do that, go more power to you. That's just how I feel personally about it, amen. They said, but you're going to, I said, I know. I said, I'm getting wrinkles. I said, I'm just going to get wrinkled up, but I'd rather get wrinkled and know I could lay my head down in a casket and know that I never put wrinkle cream on my face, amen, as to die looking smooth and oily, amen. I'd rather wrinkle up and die like a man. Somebody say amen right there. I don't know where that's in the Bible, but it sure makes me feel better to get that out of my system. Amen. I know it. Here's why I don't even know what I'm telling you. I know what I was telling you. They probably some man under conviction right now. No, I know what I was telling you. The older you get, the grayer, the more wrinkled. It doesn't matter. You love each other more, don't you? That's real love. That's real love. And I tell you, in a church, the longer you stay in a church, we stay through the good times and bad, the hard times. It hurts when people leave, don't it? I mean, it really hurts when people leave. They come and they go. It hurts when they leave. I'm just kidding. A little bit. But no, it hurts when people leave. It's sad. But I thank God for the people that stay, don't you? I appreciate everybody. I appreciate everybody's come. But I really appreciate everybody's stay. And I tell you, when you look back through life, it makes you love each other even more as a church. Anybody can join a church, but it takes real love to stay there. We don't stay, we're not here because we just love the church. I'll tell you why we're here, because we love the Lord.